You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Illegal marijuana grows are a legitimate problem across the state. We've had those discussions here on Insight. But the city of Sacramento has been accused of running a controversial cannabis enforcement program, issuing hefty six-figure fines against landlords, even when unaware that their tenants were breaking the law. Cap Radio state government reporter Scott Rodd first started investigating the program a few years ago and recently uncovered new details about how the city has operated an enforcement system with accusations of anti-Asian American bias, as well as claims of violating privacy data. Scott joins us now. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Vicky.
So, Scott, since you started investigating the city's enforcement program a few years ago, get us up to speed. What got you into the story and what did you find?
Yeah, we started looking at this, you know, a few years ago, and it first got on my radar when I was seeing dozens of lawsuits filed in Sacramento County Superior Court, filed by property owners against the city. And in my time as an investigative reporter, when you start to see patterns like that of lawsuits filed, that's a pretty good indication that there might be a story there. So I started digging into it further, and I found that the city had issued tens of millions of dollars in fines against property owners. And it wasn't just the overall amount that caught my attention. Each fine was hundreds of thousands of dollars, $200,000, $500,000. Some of them were approaching $1 million against individual property owners. And, you know, it's important to note the underlying problem here that we're talking about is real. Hundreds of houses across Sacramento have been converted to illegal grow operations in recent years. Police have busted them. You know, that's not in dispute. But where the pushback and the controversy has come in is that the city was pursuing these hefty fines against the people who owned the properties where cultivation was discovered. And intuitively, that seems to make sense. But they were doing it even if these people weren't the ones who were caught growing the cannabis. So our past investigations found that many of these property owners were individual landlords who claimed that their tenants, these sort of rogue tenants, took advantage of them. They said, look, we have leases, we hired property management companies, but we couldn't just walk in the door of this house, even though we owned it, because we were renting it. They said they're being taken advantage of. And it's important to note, for a long time, the city's ordinance basically said, look, if you can prove, even if you can prove that you didn't know about it, doesn't matter. You, the property owner, you're going to get this massive penalty. Meanwhile, we found that the tenants who, even if they were caught red-handed at the house growing the cannabis, they essentially got a slap on the wrist. You know, they might get a misdemeanor, some community service, but that was pretty much the extent of it.
Wow. And you discovered this back in 2019. What caused you to continue following this investigation a couple years later?
Yeah, there have been some notable developments lately. Just in recent days, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a digital privacy watchdog group, they filed a lawsuit, and they claimed that SMUD, the local utility company, the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, has been disclosing customer lists to police to essentially launch investigations into potential grow houses. We were able to confirm that by looking at search warrants. This lawsuit also claims that there are allegations. They allege that there's bias against Asian property owners, that this enforcement system targets Asian property owners and applies these penalties to them disproportionately. We also found that the city separately has made some significant changes to the enforcement program as a result of a settlement that happened in recent months, which gives property owners stronger protections and gives them more tools to challenge penalties if they receive them.
Mm. So we're going to dive into these new developments. But first, I mean, I'm just kind of hanging on these hefty fines that property owners receive. I mean, several hundred thousand dollars. I mean, we're talking about six figures here. Help us understand what happens when a property owner receives one of these huge penalties, because you've spoken to some of these homeowners as well as their attorneys. What do they have to say?
Yeah, let's start with Zuhu Wang. He's a retired bus driver in San Francisco. He's in his 60s. Back in 2017, he bought a house in South Sacramento. His plan was to retire there, but that was still a few years off for him. And his plan was, in the meantime, to rent it out. So he hired a property manager. They did background checks on tenants. They had a lease that prohibited illegal drug activity. Wang himself would drive by the property when he was in Sacramento to keep an eye on it. Nevertheless, the tenant that he rented the house to grew hundreds of plants. police left a citation on the house's counter for $130,000. And this would have absolutely upended Wang's life. I mean, this was his savings plus some just gone, you know, so this really kind of sent him into a spiral. I spoke to him in 2019 through an interpreter, and this is what he told me after receiving the penalty.
I was very surprised. I was shocked. And, you know, of course, I was scared. A homeowner, you know, has a responsibility. But of course, in my case, I found a company to rent the property out. I went to see the house. You know, I feel I did what I could. I'm a victim here. Me and homeowners to whom this has happened, you know, we are victims and we are the ones who are being punished here.
So Wang ended up challenging the penalty. It was a years-long battle in court. He just recently got the penalty wiped out. The city ended up having to pay $700,000 to him, and a lot of it went to covering his attorney's fees.
Yeah, so that is a success story, although, you know, it took a hardship to actually get to a positive result for Mr. Wang. But this isn't an isolated incident. I mean, you found that many property owners have similar stories, individual landlords who claim that these rogue tenants took advantage of them, turned their rental homes into grow houses. What kind of pushback has the city received?
You know, a lot of people have faced these fines, and it's clear that the city saw this as an opportunity to generate revenue while also clamping down on illegal grow houses, which, again, is a very real problem. Early in the days of the enforcement program, the city had issued $12.8 million in fines, which at the time seemed like a lot. Mayor Daryl Steinberg at a city council hearing said collecting those fines would be, quote, a high priority. And then he went on to say this.
Because that's $12.8 million. And, you know, we're going to have a budget this year that is $12.8 million. We're going to have a budget this year that is going to be lean.
Fast forward to today. The city has issued over $100 million in penalties. But it's worth noting, the city has only collected about 10% of those fines because property owners have been pushing back. The vast majority of them have been challenged through the city's appeal process. And the city is also facing over 80 lawsuits filed by property owners over these fines.
Wow, so that's a lot of pushback. What does the city have to say about the pushback to its enforcement program?
So when I reached out to them in recent days, they declined comment, citing the ongoing litigation filed by the myriad ongoing litigation, but especially the recent lawsuit filed over the SMUD disclosures about electricity and customer data. But Mayor Steinberg previously said in an email to me, quote, there must be consequences for bad actors that are skirting city and state laws. And back in 2019, I interviewed the city attorney for Sacramento, Susanna Alcala Wood, and this is what she said to me about the danger that these homes pose.
It's creating a lot of havoc in the neighborhoods in which these activities pop up, creating an increased danger because of the organized crime activity and the criminal activity that surrounds these illegal cannabis houses. And so we are going to do everything in our power to protect our neighbors.
And so again, the city emphasizes that illegal grows, they're real, they're being busted around the city, they pose a serious risk to communities, to neighborhoods. But again, their enforcement approach has gotten a lot of criticism, and a lot of people have been taking a close look at it, challenging it in court.
Yeah, there's a lot of dispute over who a bad actor is. Is it the property owner or is it the person that's actually growing cannabis illegally and is a tenant? One notable lawsuit that was filed, as you mentioned, in recent days was by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a privacy watchdog group. It describes how police, Sacramento police, relied on SMUD, that's the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, to launch investigations into suspected grow houses. What does this lawsuit allege?
So SMUD, the utility district here in Sacramento, regularly sends customer lists to Sacramento police, detailing customers who use high amounts of electricity. That high usage is a pretty good indicator that there may be an illegal marijuana grow occurring at a house. And these lists are broken down by zip code, and essentially police would pluck addresses and launch investigations from these lists. And I dug up over 40 search warrant affidavits that confirm these allegations. You know, this was sort of listed out in the lawsuit, and it's reflected in these search warrant affidavits that I found. It shows Smud was integral to launching investigations into these alleged, into these suspected grow houses. And sometimes these investigations were launched after direct tips or even complaints from a Smud worker saying, hey, you know, this is an address that we have concerns about. And it's worth noting that in-person surveillance after these sort of lists were looked at and an investigation was launched, in-person surveillance was minimal. You know, we found sometimes there wasn't any. And in a lot of cases, it was essentially just an officer driving by a house and observing pretty prosaic, mundane things about a house, like a fence, maybe a beware of dog sign. In some cases, there were contradictory things that were pointed out as indicating a potential grow house. For example, a number of houses had bars on their windows. When an officer encountered a house that didn't have bars, they wrote in the search warrant application, well, a lot of times, you know, these houses don't have bars on the windows because they don't want to look like a grow house, so they're sort of hiding in plain sight. And so looking through these search warrants was very revealing to see sort of the process from Smud lists to a quick drive-by to essentially let's get a search warrant to go in and raid and bust these grow houses.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio state government reporter Scott Rodd about his latest investigation into the city of Sacramento's cannabis enforcement program for illegal grows. Now, this lawsuit that we're talking about, filed by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, also has allegations that that Smud, along with Sacramento police and the city of Sacramento, were targeting Asian American property owners through its enforcement program. Why did they make these allegations?
So for the first 2 years of the program, according to the lawsuit, 86% of penalties went against Asian homeowners in Sacramento. And just for comparison's sake, you know, the census has the Sacramento's Asian population at about 20%. So that's a pretty disproportionate ratio. Here's Megan Sapi Gao, the co-executive director of the Asian American Liberation Network, which is a plaintiff in the Electronic Frontier Foundation lawsuit.
It's going outside the confines of the law and, you know, scooping up mass amounts of data and specifically target the Asian American community. It's very problematic.
And, you know, their allegation isn't just that these fines were ultimately applied to Asian property owners. They say that essentially this discrimination was baked into the system itself. So they allege that a police officer removed non-Asian names from a list of customers that Sacramento police had received from Smud. And then there was another incident, and Capradio was able to confirm this one. We obtained transcripts and audio from, it was actually an appeal hearing from Zuhu Wang, the property owner who we talked about earlier. And he had challenged his penalty. And during the hearing, a former deputy city attorney, Melissa Bickle, was questioning Wang's property manager, who is Asian. And it's a little hard to hear. Again, this is audio from an appeal hearing. But this is what she said during cross-examination of the property manager.
Now, because you're in the community, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but Asian as well, you know that there is a problem with Asian people and grow houses.
I object to that, Your Honor.
Again, it's a little hard to hear, but she said, quote, now, because you're in the community, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but Asian as well, you know that there is a problem with Asian people in grow houses. And the attorney for Wang immediately objected to that. The property owner pushed back right at that moment. You know, he said to the former deputy city attorney, essentially, no, it's not all Asians that are growing cannabis in houses. Anyone can be doing this, and, you know, anyone is doing this. Ultimately, the deputy city attorney withdrew the question. We reached out to her, Melissa Bickle. She now works for Yolo County. She declined to comment. And we reached out to the city, Sacramento police, and Smud with regard to, you know, the allegations in the lawsuit. The city and the police declined to comment. Smud also declined to comment, except to say that they take disclosing customer data seriously and that they follow all laws when doing so.
All right. So there's a lot of decline to comment, but you also found that the city has made some substantial concessions to its illegal cannabis cultivation enforcement system. What are the biggest changes?
So in the case with Wang, as I mentioned before, they settled that case, paid $700,000. Most of it went to attorney's fees. But perhaps the bigger piece of this settlement was that the city agreed to make some systemic changes to its enforcement program. So the police must now send property owners a warning and give property owners 30 days to correct violations before issuing a fine. So previously, police would go in, if they made a bust and they confirmed cannabis was there, they'd count up the plants and leave a citation on the counter, essentially. Now property owners have a heads up to say, or the city says, hey, look, something's not right here, you need to correct it, gives them more time to respond, kick a tenant out if necessary, and clean up whatever may be happening in the house. The city must also now provide property owners and their attorneys with any exculpatory evidence that points to a property owner's innocence. Previously, the city didn't have to do that. And the appeal hearings now are starting to reflect more of what kind of a court proceeding looks like. You know, this is something, providing exculpatory evidence is something that you would expect in a court proceeding. Now that the city has to do that, it sort of gives a little bit more of an level playing field for property owners who are claiming innocence to try to make their case.
Finally, Scott, the city of Sacramento is just one of many illegal cannabis enforcement programs across the state. How does this compare to other jurisdictions? Is this a standard, or is the city of Sacramento an outlier?
So the city of Sacramento kind of blazed this trail in terms of enforcement when it comes to illegal cannabis cultivation. We found that other cities, other counties were taking a look at Sacramento to see, you know, what was happening here, how was their enforcement program going. Some you know, cities and counties adopted basically mirror images of what the city had done, maybe with a couple tweaks here and there, kind of learning from the pushback from Sacramento. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these most recent developments also maybe make cities and counties look at their own ordinance that have mirrored their programs off of Sacramento to say, okay, maybe to avoid some of the challenges and controversy and pushback that the city of Sacramento has faced, maybe we should make some changes. But right now, you know, we're roughly 6 years into this mass experiment of legal recreational cannabis after voters decided that they wanted to legalize it in California. And the industry is still really in flux. So, you know, even though that we're seeing these changes right now, there's still a lot of illegal cannabis entering into the marketplace. There's still a lot of challenges with trying to direct people to support the legal market and not the black or the gray market. So that's all to say that there's so much flux in this industry that this is, you know, by no means resolved. We're going to continue to see cities and counties trying to work out how do they, you know, clamp down on illegal cannabis grows effectively while making sure that they don't target or penalize people who really are not at fault. And ultimately support the legal recreational market. I mean, it's a tough balance, and I really think that cities and counties have their work cut out for them.
Scott Rodd is Cap Radio state government reporter. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thanks so much for having me on, Vicki.
We have a link to Scott's investigation, which published this morning, on our Insight page. Still ahead, an Elk Grove teen prodigy who can play over 100 instruments joins us to share their remarkable musical journey. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.